We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Shalom, good morning, welcome back to the broadcast. I'm Sean, your host. The website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. That's where you go to find the archives, some devotionals, and that's where you go to support the podcast. Today, we are resuming our study. We're looking for encouragement and wisdom from the Psalms and from the Proverbs, and we're ready for chapter 23. We're going to start with Psalm 23, which is a very, very famous psalm. You've heard it a million times. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we'll look at a couple other connecting verses to that. This idea that the Lord is my shepherd. You see in John chapter 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus really loved to use that symbolism of he's the good shepherd, we're the sheep. John 10:14, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. 1 Peter 2:25 says, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls, talking about Messiah. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And then you have Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All right, let's have a look. Psalm 23, only six verses. Here's what it says. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, there's just no better English version to read it out of than the King James Version. It's just beautiful, beautifully written. There's every verse, all six verses are incredible and speak to each and every one of us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the kind of faith that we need to have and the kind of belief that we need to have. We need to understand that we have a great shepherd who loves his sheep so much But as the scriptures say, he'd be willing to leave the 99 and go after the one that's lost and off astray. He restoreth my soul, verse 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And in verse 6, what a verse of hope. What a verse of hope for those who are led by the Good Shepherd. For those who follow the Good Shepherd. Surely. Love that. Love the way that begins. Surely goodness. It's like he's saying, of course it'll be this way. If I'm following the Good Shepherd, there's nothing I'm going to want for. He's going to lead me where the pastures are green, where the waters are still. He's going to lead me in the paths of righteousness. And even if I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I'm not going to fear any evil. Why? Because the Good Shepherd is with me, right? Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's beautiful, friends. Maybe that's why it's one of the most famous psalms ever written. But we need to not just acknowledge the beauty of the writing and the beauty of the words, but actually believe it. Believe it to be true. You know, David was able to write something like this because it was in his soul. He actually believed it. All right, let's move on to our wisdom. Warnings and instructions from the Proverbs. We've got 35 verses here. Let's have ourselves a look. Verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee, and put a knife to thy throat, if thou be a man given to appetite. Be not serious of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thy own wisdom. Will thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel with which thou hast eaten shall thou vomit up, and lose thy sweet words. It's like he's painting a picture of don't chase after riches. Don't chase after being rich. It's going to flee from you at some point, like an eagle flying towards heaven. Be careful about sitting down with a rich man and eating of his meats. And I think it's almost like avoid getting yourself in a situation where you're chasing riches, chasing corruption, being around those kinds of people. Verse 9. Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdoms of thy words. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the field of the fatherless. That verse 9 that says, speak not into the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. I had a scripture just pop into my mind as I read that, which is the one where Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before swine. It's pointless. They're not interested. Remove not the old landmark, and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty, he shall plead their cause with thee. Apply thy heart unto instructions and thy ears to the words of knowledge. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. A word for this generation who refuses to discipline their children. And why you have 30-year-olds who can't handle the words no, and who have literal mental breakdowns and need comfort animals and safe spaces. It's a generation of people who were never told no, who were never corrected. And you see the result of it in our culture. Now, obviously, this isn't the only reason for that, but it's one of the reasons for that. And the Proverbs here is saying, don't withhold correction. If you have to spank your child, he's not going to die. Right? I mean, that's what he's saying. And then look, verse 14. Here's why you do it. Here's why you spank your children. Here's why you discipline your children according to the scriptures. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Whew, that's powerful, isn't it? And of course, your average Joe is going to hear the words of the King James language. This is beat. And they're thinking, oh, child abuse. Well, it's not what it's saying. It's talking about correction. It's like spanking a child, which even now they think that's child abuse. But listen, you correct your children, and the reason for that is you're delivering their souls from hell. They're not going to die from being disciplined. Verse 15, my son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my rein shall rejoice when my lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. That's an interesting warning. Let's read that again. Let not thy heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. It's like he's saying, don't look into the world and see people enjoying the pleasures of this world, embracing all the things that the eye and the flesh want. And you see some people like that. They've got all the money to have all the fun. They've got every pleasure the world has to offer. Don't envy them. Don't envy them. But remain. Be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Verse 18, for surely there is an end, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thy heart in the way. Be not among winebibbers, among riotous eaters of flesh, richuous eaters of flesh. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Now he's getting ready to warn about drinking. Don't be drinking wine and eating like a glutton. That road leads to all kinds of problems. You know, gluttony is a huge issue in the United States that people don't realize and don't even think about as sin. But a lot of our health issues. Yes, we're being poisoned by our own food supply, but there's some gluttony taking place as well. And he's warning about, you know, drinking the wine, not having a drink of wine, but drinking wine, being a drunkard of wine, being a glutton, it leads to destruction, it leads to poverty. Verse 22, hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begotteth a wise child shall have joy in him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee rejoice. My son, give thine heart, and let thy eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lie in wait as for prey, and increases the transgressors among men. Again, he's warning against fornication, adultery. This is an important word for boys. He's talking to his son. It's very important, especially today, but it's always been important, even back then. He's warning, don't be going out and then having a wild night with a strange woman. That leads to destruction. It's a deep pit. And there's some that lie in wait for that opportunity, and you get drawn in, and it's just going to lead you down. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. It's not an attack on women. It's an attack on women who operate like a whore, who lie in wait for an opportunity. It says, she also lie in wait as prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. Verse 29, who hath woe, who hath sorrow, who hath contentions, who hath babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Again, more warnings about what happens to you when you're constantly looking to drink. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it is giveth its color in the cup, when it is moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. He's saying you start drinking this stuff. You start getting drunk, and then guess what? The end result is all these things. You have woes, you have sorrows, you have contentions, you have babblings, you have redness of eyes. Your eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Verse 33, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And that is the end of Proverbs, chapter 23. Well, I hope this study blessed you this morning and spoke to your heart. The Psalm and the Proverbs, man, powerful stuff. Stuff we need in our souls, in our minds. We need to be filling our minds with this kind of thing instead of filling our minds with the filth of the world. This is why I like to do this in the morning. It's a pain to get up early and to try to record this before we're getting ready for work and having to do, you know, a whole day of real life work. But there's no better way to start your morning than with spending it with God. Spending it in His Word. Renewing your mind and your spirit before you have to go step out into this world. We're going to be bombarded with every form of filth that there is. When you're going to be tempted with every form of filth that there is. It's a hard world, friends. It is. It's a hard place to walk in righteousness and holiness. It's a hard place to avoid temptation and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. It's tough. So you got to fill your soul with the things of God. You know, if you don't fill your house with the things of God, it'll be filled all right, but it'll be filled with something else. Real quick before I wrap up, the scripture is coming to my mind is that parable that Jesus talks about. A man cleans up his house and the evil spirit leaves. I'm paraphrasing, of course, I don't have it all in front of me, but then it goes and it finds seven more wicked than itself and comes back, and that person is worse off than they were to begin with. You got to clean up that house. You got to clean it out and then you fill it with the things of God so there's no room for anything else. There's no room for anything else. Don't envy, like the proverb said, don't envy the sinner. But remain in the fear of the Lord all the day long. May it be so in our hearts and in our minds. May the mercy of God be upon us. That's all I have for you this morning. Peace and grace be with all of you. And until next time, God bless.